T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now, back to Steinie, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right. Having a lot of fun today. Talking about Steph Curry and his place in NBA history, the role he is on right now, the fact that his play is helping the Warriors win ball games. It's gotten them back to 500. They play the Wizards tomorrow. And that to me, guys, is a game where you got to get it. I mean, you got to get that game. You can't slip up to the Wizards and kind of lose momentum. And unfortunately, that's been a little bit of the MO of this team. But I will acknowledge, it does feel a little different, the Warriors right now. It feels like they got a little something brewing, Dibs.
Yeah, and it's on the back of number 30 going extraterrestrial, ET phone home. I mean, he's playing at a level unseen by anyone his age, certainly 33 and over, with the 11 straight 30-point games and doing it in a winning fashion as well. And you can't help but think that at some point it will come to an end, but right now it feels like this is never going to end. He's doing it with such ease.
And it's so funny. When we get done here at 2, guys, I'm going to think about Dibs, because that was my number. Is 29, does that mean he comes to an end? That's a great game, but you got to keep going 30 or 40s. I'm with you, so it's got to be over 29. But I'll say this, Steinie and Dibs, this is the Uncle Sam game. They owe the Wizards, because the Wizards got with them last time. That was a fluke. They owe the Washington Wizards, who, by the way, currently, if the season ended today, would be in the offs.
What position are they in?
A 10th.
That's not the playoffs.
That's the ends. Oh,
but I've got, for them, Wizard math, that's the off. Right?
No. I finally got the answer on the play-in games from the great Raymond Ritter. The play-in games are not considered playoff games. The league is calling them standalone games. So they will not even be part of the regular season stats, Dibs. So there we got an answer there. That's interesting.
That's great stuff.
So when Steph goes for 41 in a play-in game win, and then he goes for 37 in a play-in game loss, sorry, Raymond, just trying to be fair and balanced here, where do those numbers live in his career totals? They're not in his postseason totals. Correct. They're not in his regular season totals. Are the basketball references at all going to create a new category for standalone games?
Maybe.
Nay, I say, Mr. Ritter, and to the rest of you looking for a place to place these stats, these inevitably will go into the regular season category when they're tabulated on a player's overall record. My prediction, you could put that in the statistical cap under the hashtag Raymond Ritter, because I'm not saying he's wrong, but those numbers are going to have to live in either the postseason or the regular season. They're not going to create a third warehouse for this standalone cockamamie make-believe crap.
I love you, Dibs, but I'm going with Raymond. Raymond's connected, and he said it. It ain't home alone. It's standalone. Okay?
No, Raymond didn't say where the numbers would live in perpetuity. Raymond simply said that the league is saying these are standalone games, and I'm just taking it a step further because I've been in this market as long as Mr. Ritter, if not a couple of decades longer.
We love you, Ray.
And of course we do. I go way back to when he introduced me to Patrick O'Brien. I had a signed Patrick O'Brien ball. Put that in your microphone and speak on it.
So. Put it in the cap. P.O.B.
Thank you. These numbers will have to live somewhere, and I can't imagine there's a new category for the standalone. Steph's the all-time leading scorer in standalone games.
It's bothering me too. Like, right?
Let it go. It'll be like trying to find an exhibition game 10 years from now. You won't be able to find it. Nobody will care.
Yeah. And you know what else? Yeah, and I know we got Lock of the Day coming up, Steiny, but as we're letting things go, it's time to let go of your dreams of being a fan of the Super League, because it looks like the European Super League is DOA, gentlemen. Goo, remember we talked yesterday about that soccer Super League that was being formed by...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the revolt, the revolution will be televised, and it's going on today with Chelsea and Manchester City already vowing to pull out. The European Super League is now imploding and caving in upon itself before it even had a chance to get off the ground. So as we're letting go of stuff, Steiny, it's time to let go of the ESL dead on arrival. Night-night.
Now, Dibs, real quick, was part of this dynamic the fact that a lot of these owners were American? Or there's a lot of American money in on those teams, and it's like
absolutely
kinda, okay.
It's almost the Americanization of the great game, where it's greed first. It's got to have our money, and putting aside the true nature of these competitions, because the Champions League, if you have a good enough year the year before, you can qualify for the Champions League under the new Super League structure. There would be only be a few slots that could be qualified for. The rest would be guaranteed for the big fat cat teams.
So the threat of not being able to play for your country, that didn't do it, Dibs. It was the green guys that pretty much did it, right? The money. Money talks.
The fans really were the ones who said, we don't want this, we won't watch it. Oh. And the European Union saying, hey, we'll ban players if they play in it. So the whole thing kind of collapsed in a number of different ways.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Thanks for that update, Dibs.
Yeah,
is there any soccer on today?
Stuff.
Liverpool playing?
No, they played yesterday. They drew Leeds.
Yeah. Leeds of Live at Leeds. Great album by The Who, I believe.
Fired up about
you think
my
I don't
Barcelona
know soccer?
Pool.
Live at Leeds by The Who.
That. Barcelona.
All right, let's hit the lock of the day, please.
It's time for Guru's Lock of the Day.
Lock the lady tumor.
That is whack.
You're as cold as ice.
Thank you, Guru.
Here we go. Guru's Lock of the Day is brought to you by BetQL. Baseball is back.
Hello.
Basketball teams are battling for playoff spots. Steph Curry's scoring 30 points or more, and BetQL can help you bet on all of it. BetQL analyzes every bet from every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. It's time to get better at betting. Visit BetQL.com and use promo code BAY for 20% off. That's 20% off with promo code BAY, B-A-Y, at BetQL.com. Goo rode with the Boston Celtics last night, -5.5 against the Chicago Bulls. He was looking to avoid back-to-back losses, but Garrett Temple had other ideas.
Tice, one bounce, left side Kobe, far corner, three ball by Temple, got it! Temple has hit two, big time, fourth quarter, three balls.
That audio from 670, The Score in Chicago, those were three of Temple's 13 points, but it was Nikola Vucevic who led the way for Chicago with 29 points and 9 boards in a 102-96 victory. How in the world, Goo, did the Celtics lose to a Zach Levine-less Bulls team?
I'm going to put it on the coach. I mean, you get a great win like you did Saturday.
Oh, I love it.
I turned on that game, guys, and the body language was just awful. Now, there was no Smart or no our point guard. But
Jalen Brown.
Still,
Kemba Walker. Jalen Brown
no,
did
Kemba
play.
No, Kemba Walker. Thank you.
Oh,
Kemba
Jalen
Walker.
Played.
Yeah, Jalen played, and it didn't matter. Chicago had more energy. It was just sad, man. I put it on Stevens, guys.
Man.
More like sad Stevens.
And I was hot before you got back, Steiny, and now it's two in a row. Go figure.
Yeah. Don't, do that. Don't do that. Goo.
What's the record, Kyle, so I can do the math? Is he 21-18?
No. Goo is now sitting at 23-18-2.
Okay. The two is, we'll forget about the two. 23-18, which is 23 up, 19.8 down, up 3.2. units, or roughly, 9 weeks we've been doing it. He's averaging about 0.35 units a week, which is about 0.07 units a day. Man, we're talking about pennies.
Oh, boy. Goo, you ready to shoot?
Yeah, the pick is in. Stop doing this. No, I love this because I'm over 500 and I'm good at it. But we're going to the California, the capital in California, Sacramento. They call it Macramento, and they host the Minnesota Timberwolves. The play is take the Kings minus -3, coming off a big win against Dallas at home, and they'll win two in a row after stopping their 9-game losing streak. So some will call me crazy, but there's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser. So I'm going with the Kings minus -3.
I don't know I could bet any money on the Kings at this juncture.
I'll tell you what. De'Aaron Fox is I hated on him. I'm done hating. That dude can play, man.
Yeah.
He is roadrunner with the ball, Dibs.
This is a fascinating, and I don't know if Kyle has the numbers. He is brilliant, but you know, we've had stats on Goo betting on Wednesdays and Goo betting on baseball.
Oh, Sam had it.
Where are we with Goo and the royalty from Sacramento? Do we have numbers on how is it? Because he seems to have an unbelievable attraction, like a toddler to the hot stove. Goo can't stay off of the Kings, Kyle.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the other one time he's taken the Kings as favorites was against the Pistons. They were 7.5-point favorites and lost by 12 outright.
Oh, that's a 19-point swingarooski right there. Thank you, Kyle.
I think we do know his Achilles heel is the one and only Memphis Grizzlies.
The Memphis Grizzlies.
I love Memphis. Hey, I'll say this last thing, and I know we'll move on.
Ja
has had the ball this season with the game in his hand, Steiny, at least four or five times, and it's either gotten to OT or they didn't win. I ain't put no jacket on him yet, Masters. But last night, Ja had the game and couldn't get it done. It's a make or miss league. Raymond Ritter told me.
Yeah. I'll take him. I'll take Ja Morant.
I love
him. Yep. He's a youngster, so.
Where is John?
Hey, last thing about this segment. I just want – you guys are my brothers. I got four brothers, different strokes. But I see a lot more teeth when I lose than when I win. I just want you guys to know that. Stoddy, you look like you're at the dentist when I get the L's, smiling. When I win, I don't see many chiclets, dear, so I'm just throwing that out there. It's like
well,
you guys
I'm,
like
I'm just a spectator
loses.
For the most part in all this, but I can't help but feel an extra chill when Steiny's in the seat because – yeah, JD, last week, you were 4-1, and Steiny's been back now for two shows,
hours.
And you're 0-2. So
yeah.
It's just, you know, the old causation correlation comes to mind, but something about watching his private joy at your failure then in turn gives me additional joy, and I can hide the fact that I'm also happy at your failure, but then it comes across as me being happy at how happy Steiny is.
I'm just going to put it bluntly. I'm sick of it.
So
there you go.
Telling me I'm William Macy in The Cooler, essentially.
Wow.
Basically.
You ever see that movie?
Yeah. No, I haven't.
Yeah, that's not his finest turn.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a pretty good movie, I thought.
Well, it's just because, I mean, the female lead in that is just an absolute bombshell.
Who was it?
What's her name?
I can't even remember.
I'll watch it. Yeah, I want to know.
You got
to go. Yeah, she has a tough go of things, and he's one of her only friends, but... She's been in a number of things. Blonde hair, curvy, you know the one.
I always, real quick, I know you guys don't care, random. Anytime there was a bombshell, I always felt like I was a leading man. Like in Greece, I always thought I was Travolta. You know, Olivia Newton-John. I don't know if you guys ever done that. You know,
I watched the movie, but I never thought I was Travolta. But
Maria Bello is the actress's name. Maria Bello.
Thank you. Nice job, Spadown.
Hey, speaking of actresses, you guys ever heard of Allison Janney? Allison Janney.
She was a terrific actress.
Yeah, she was in Nashville. She was at a bar I was at in Nashville, sitting at the bar listening to music, believe it or not.
Did you say hello?
Hell no.
Oh.
Guru, I know what it's like to be famous at a bar. You know what I mean?
You're famous. 10-2 in the Bay.
That's what I'm saying.
Didn't you initially misidentify her in the group thread?
Yes, exactly.
Who did you call her initially? It wasn't Diane Sawyer, but it was somebody totally
correct.
Wrong.
Yeah, that's
Tom
correct.
Sawyer.
So the night, you know.
Susan Sarandon. We were having fun in Nashville.
Feinstein. And I look over and I'm like, oh, my God, that's Christine Lottie. Christine Lottie, who's another fine actress, and she's great. And so the whole night I was like, should I go over and say hello. And I'm like, don't do that. Nobody wants it. So, of course, I texted all my buddies that Christine Lottie was at the bar and basically kind of stalked her from afar. Yeah, just kind of always looking at her, seeing what she was doing. And she would just be like a normal person, you know, drink a drink and talk to her husband or boyfriend. She was there with a guy. Anyway, I woke up the next morning and something was weird. Something was off. I didn't know what. And I thought, you know what? I don't think that was Christine Lottie, because somebody had then sent me a photo of Christine Lottie. And I was like, uh-oh, that's not her. So I started thinking, well, God, who am I thinking? Oh, the one I'm thinking was in West Wing. And then I looked her up, and it was Allison Janney. So.
But you did right. I thought she was solo, like Han. So the fact that she had somebody there, that's when you're infringing. You know, you played it right.
Yeah, I don't usually like to – I don't like to do that. I don't like to bug people. Unless it's Diddley.
Remember, me and your boy, we'd be at the post game, and they would come up to the table. We'd be eating pizza or something. They'd tap us, take a picture or something. No big deal. But yeah,
I couldn't stand that, to tell you the truth. I know you liked it. You invited it.
The hell with the kids.
Guru, before every show, they'd come on up to section 23, say
hey,
hello.
I would stop. Like, cool, I didn't do all that.
No, I know. I'm just messing. All right. A couple other things we got to get to. Goo, Warrior-related, et cetera. I got them on my list. This is from the text line. In 10 to 15 years, you guys are going to change your perspective because no one will come close to the numbers that Curry put up. That's an interesting point, and I got to thinking about it. You know, we talked a little bit about Jerry Rice and how his touchdown numbers were just beyond anybody else's. And so Steph's three-point numbers are going to be – they are just going to be untouchable for a long time. I'm wondering if that's just going to – even after his career is over, it'll kind of limit him, not limit him, but it'll take a toll on his all-around greatness as a player, because people are going to see those three-point numbers, and they're just going to say, he was just a great three-point shooter. And obviously the people that have seen him are going to be like, he was more than that. You know what I mean? Because his numbers are going to be untouchable from three-point range.
And I'll tell you this, this is why they're going to be untouchable. Stoudy, I think, and, you know, we talk about it, the old heads, it's not just Steph. It's the game and how it's played and the abundance of threes. It's too much for my liking. I think there's an answer coming down the road. And when you say, when's down the road? It could be 3 years, 5, 10, 15. It's got to stop and get back to what it was before this explosion and a fine balance. They may move the line back, but I got to believe the eyes watching the sport know something's up. But I say all that to say is, Steiny, these records that he has and what he's done to Ray Allen and Reggie Miller just on total threes, how many times he's broken his own record. How old will we be? What will the year be? Will we still be here? Will people on Mars be walking here on Earth when somebody comes to touch those numbers? I just think they're untouchable. Like one of the great movies I've seen in my lifetime.
Here's the thing though, Goo. When early in the career, early when that line came in, I just never thought there'd ever be anybody like Curry. Curry's the extreme example. Let's be honest. He does it better than anybody else by far.
Right.
But I didn't even think there'd be guys, like Curry was unthinkable. So what might happen in 25 years? Who knows? I mean, believe it or not, I really think that it could get to the point, like for example, and I said this before, if Steph Curry – let's say he didn't bring the ball up the court. Somebody else brought the ball up the court, and you're going to start your offense. And Curry just stood at half court. He just stood at half court.
Okay.
Somebody would have to stand there with him. They would have to stand there with him because he's proven that he can make enough shots from 40 feet that you got to guard him. And so who's to say, there won't be two guys like Curry on the same team. And you might say that's Klay Thompson. And who's going to be the first guy that can make 30% of his shots from half court?
I don't know, who knows, man.
What's going to happen?
And so I'll say this. Oh, go ahead. I was just going to say the fact that the ball's not in his hands, to me, he can make it from half court or wherever – but that helps the defense. Why you can't stop this man is he's got that handle, Steiny, and can shoot it on the off the dribble. He can do all that in one. That's incredible. And the only thing I think about real quick here is when you told me about Wilt or Bill Russell, where they would outlaw the dunk. Well, they outlawed the dunk because he had an advantage over everybody. Now there's a situation where a guy's undersized, right, and you need to try to outlaw something because, Steiny, this – hey, you can say whatever. But, you got to start winning a contest, fanboy or not. What we are watching, I honestly believe, and I'm ready to say, this could be the greatest run in sports history. I mean, this just with the three ball, how the game's played, what he can do, and how unguardable he is.
What about Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak? Yeah, I'm just saying.
No, I love it. It's different
stuff
sports.
Out there. Yeah. 11 games. Yeah. And here's the other – I'm sorry. So I vehemently disagree. If Steph Curry didn't move off the ball like he does, okay, he would be a worse player. He'd be worse.
No, right. I got you. Like Harden can't – well, he's doing it a little bit, but he don't got it like Steph. He can't do that.
Like, and I don't think – see, that's one area where – I don't think people understand how, to me, that's the separator. That's what makes Curry, when you say, oh, what about Lillard? Lillard and Curry, Lillard, they're the same. No, they're not.
They don't do that. Yes.
No, they're not, because Steph Curry is one of the few players, like, he can almost play like Klay Thompson if he has to.
Exactly.
And it's just he's got more weapons, so... You know, I get people that want to put him in the pick and roll more and all that stuff. But to me, if you make the more one-dimensional you make him, the less effective you make him, because he's just, you know, he's Reggie Miller and he's Steve Nash.
Remember, here I go. One of my best days on the radio at the parade, we got to interview him. I said, who did you patent your game after? And those two guys were his answer. And when you watch him play, I never forget that answer. But, Stan, I gotta keep it real here. Earlier in the season, I don't know if it was Milwaukee, he didn't turn in a stinker, but we were like, oh, the box and one is a Steph Curry kryptonite. I ask you, if you are Washington tomorrow and Scotty Brooks, why wouldn't you try to do that? Even if you lost the game, wouldn't you say this has been – I'm tired of this. I'm tired of him just toying with the league in the box and one.
I think what goes on there, Goo, is when you think about when the box in one was used, it was in a seven-game series. It's hard to play a kind of junk defense – when the Warriors come into town, I'm not saying they don't have a junk defense in them, but like during the regular season when you got Golden State tonight, Detroit Sunday, it's hard to implement a whole new defensive game plan, and that's why in a seven game series, you know, that those are the real tells of how great a player is, because that's where you see it all, and you know that's where, you know, you can't just have a great game. You have to have a great series. And, you know, Curry's obviously done that too. But, yeah, I guess Allison Janney also is the voice of Kaiser Permanente. I think, wow, I knew that. Hello, Human Kindness.
KP.org. Yeah.
415 says the three-point era isn't going anywhere, Goo. It would have to have been addressed 5 or 6 years ago when Golden State started. Now every team is jacking threes. Silver should have done something years ago. You know, I don't know. I don't think the league thinks it has an issue, to tell you the truth. I think they like where the league's at right now.
Wow. Couldn't we say it's one-dimensional? Too one-dimensional?
What if I told you this, Goo? What if I let you in on a little secret of Matt Steinmetz? I don't like to criticize the game too much today. Because I feel like then people think it's a shot at Curry. You know what I mean? So the game right now is the game right now. Basketball's been different. You know, over the course of generations, it's changed. And do I like it? No, not really. I don't. But I don't want to harp on it because it sounds then like honestly, you know, you say, well, Steph Curry couldn't have, you know, without the three-point line, and that's obviously foolish, too. Yeah. Like, that's the other thing about Curry. If you took the three-point line out of the game right now, I contend Steph Curry's impact would not diminish that much.
And that's the biggest compliment you can give somebody. And I'm with you. Yes. I ain't just agreeing with you. And I want to say this about that aspect of his game. Steinie, we came into this season, and I remember the 16 finals. You know, Steph and Kyrie, they have this, like, competition between them. And that's what two gladiators do. But Kyrie, and I deemed him this, I gave him this moniker along with everybody else, he had the best handle in the game and the ability to get to the bucket. So I'll go football. He had a 25-yard lead on Curry in regard to maybe Curry being the second best on getting to the cup in the handle. Ask me what that lead is now.
What?
I think it's maybe a yard and a yard and a half. And that's the ultimate compliment to Steph Curry and what I believe an improvement in his game, because now he's deadlier than Kyrie. Kyrie will shoot that three, but it's occasional. Steph now is a threat out there so much, Donnie, that you're worried about that he has gotten stronger. And I'm watching him make defenders fall on each other. It's geometry. It's chemistry. The way he's hitting the ball off the glass, how high. It's amazing. I got to ride this wave, if that's what they want to call it.
If the NBA got rid of the three-point line tomorrow and Steph Curry had the ball 24 feet from the basket, you would cover him the exact same way that you covered him last night with the three-point line. If the NBA took out the three-point line tomorrow and you watched the Nets – and James Harden had the ball 24 feet out, he would be guarded differently. You would give him far more room because he's not, like, Curry will go make 4 out of 5 from there. I got to see Harden make 4 out of 5 from there, even kind of uncontested. So, no, I think about that all the time. I push back on that. Well, if there's no 3-point line, Curry, no. You got to think about what you're saying. He's more accurate from further out on the court than any player's ever been in basketball history. This is from Coach Jamal. Coach Jamal in the text line saying, Michael Jordan is the only one who's ever changed the game. Michael Jordan, I don't know. I mean,
What did Michael shoot? Maybe 3 threes a game? We're just talking about the way, you know, I'm going to watch the Kings and Wizards tonight. Get a life. But there's probably going to be combined 73-point attempts. You know what I'm saying, Steinie? To me, that's changing the game. And I could go find another game, and it's probably going to be something like that. I mean, I'm not – yeah, Michael played with air and above the rim and, you know, the ha-ha under the rim and all that. He added a razzle to it. I mean, more than Magic could do. But when Magic did it, it was perfect. Steph has changed the game, man. Just look at how many three-pointers are being attempted.
And that's why – who said a few years ago that Steph Curry had changed the game for the worse? Was that – that wasn't Mark Jackson. I think it was Mark Jackson.
It was Mark Jackson.
How kids now come into the gym and they shoot 30-footers away instead of working on fundamentals. And, of course, the answer's obviously halfway between, because Steph Curry obviously grew up working on fundamentals too. Not just – he didn't just go into a gym at 9 years old and hoist 35-footers.
That sounds like bad coaching to me if you're just getting kids in a gym and letting them shoot.
I agree.
They have respect as a coach. Earn their respect as a coach, I mean.
I agree with you, Kyle. I thought that was a simplistic way to say it, but it's Mark Jackson. So,
hey, that's my coach.
Not any. You know what? If there's ever a guy that you can't call coach, it would be him right now.
He. Real people, Steinie. The real ones. I'll say that. The real ones. They give Mark Jackson a lot of credit for what this Warrior turnaround. Yeah, he didn't get the, you know what I'm saying? He planted the seed and gave them a defensive identity, and he said something that we all thought was ludicrous about the best shooting backcourt ever That's crazy. That's what I think about his tenure, is he was right with Clay and Steph.
Oh, God. I think of so many other things during his tenure. I can't even think. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he – let's get off Mark Jackson. Yeah. He's not relevant to this conversation. Warriors-Wizards tomorrow. Got to win that game. You absolutely have to – got to win that game, especially you won 4-5. Kyle. Oh, I thought you were going to jump in here. As far as the play-in game, here's another thing I found out about the play-in game. So let's say 10 is playing 9, let's say.
All right.
If 9 beats 10, the way they say it is 10 goes into the lottery. So in other words, if you finish 7th and lose your 2 play-in games, you're in the lottery, not the team that's in the playoffs that were behind you, which I think is kind of interesting.
Something at stake, huh? Put your best foot forward.
I'm saying? Kind of like if Dallas finishes 7th, they lose to the Warriors, then lose to Memphis, Dallas is in the lottery. And
back
Memphis is then out of the lottery.
Do you think that we see, play-in game tanking for that reason?
Oh, God.
I couldn't imagine. There's no way.
Once you're playing, you're in that win-and-in spot. There's no way you're going, Ja Morant's ankle's tweaked. He's got a hammy.
You hit on it. It would not be the players. It would
It's never the players.
Right.
That's we believed in go into it saying, oh, we're about to get crushed by Dallas. Dirk's about to get MVP. Nah, they were like, hey, we got an opportunity. That's why So you're saying there's a chance.
In fact,
that guy.
You might lose an entire locker room if you tried to pull that, actually.
Yeah,
now that I'm thinking
about it. You know, the other thing, too, is believe it or not, players, I know they make a ton of money, but this, playoff money, that kind of stuff, that's important to them.
Yeah.
Well, it's like freelance money. You know, you get it. You get money for winning the division. You get more money
cha-ching
making the playoff. You get another hit of money when the Warriors were going to finals every single year. Like every coach and executive had an extra $80,000. Maybe even more than that,
man. Play money,
That's
hey. Can I say something to you? I know we're up against it. I got to tell you,
not yet.
I looked at Oubre not being in the starting lineup and getting his job back. Steiny is the relationship is severed, and not in a bad way. Kerr, no, they know that he ain't settling for less and coming off the bench, and I believe that made that decision. Almost like if they lost Oubre, all right, you know what I'm saying?
Do you think that's permanent? You think it's permanent?
Oh, there's no doubt. There is no doubt.
You think?
Yeah. He said the decision-making occurred, the Bazemore, he's making decisions faster. He's processing stuff faster, the right pass. I mean, just the little things that got the offense looking like it did, a couple years ago. And how many times did we say, man, he's just mulling around with the ball, talking about Oubre? Not so much now.
Kerr also said it gives him the best chance to win. It worked again last night. So
it did. did. Yeah,
Coach?
I mean, Oubre's better than Bazemore. But
no doubt.
But Oubre, I'd rather have come off the bench. You know why? Because I think I'll never forget. Said this. Chris Mullin said this to me way back in the day. Talking about somebody who's coming off the bench, and I said, you know what? He's a little greedy, I think. And Mullen said, if he's coming off the bench, you can live with that. It's okay. That's the best place to be greedy as a sixth man. And I kind of think Oubre's a little like that. So put him as a sixth man, let him come in and kind of go one-on-one and do the stuff that he wants to do.
He had a wrap on that wrist, though. Yeah, he's banged up.
He does not want to come off the bench, though, I wouldn't think. But we'll see. Yeah, when I was gone, apparently we got visited by by a rat. And so I got home, and then the next day I was talking to, you know, my daughter and partner, and the daughter was like, "Did you tell Dad?" I'm like, "Oh no, tell me what?" And they told me they were eating dinner one night. 30 seconds, thank God.
Yeah, I'm listening.
And they just saw this rat, and then the next morning they found the rat dead on the floor. I don't know what happened. Can a rat, real quick, can a rat die from falling off the refrigerator? Yes or no? I think I'm surprised.
No.
I don't think so either. No. But we can't figure out how it died. All right.
Well, maybe your cat actually killed it. Right? You were crushing your cat earlier. Maybe he actually killed the rat.
You know what? Let me go find that answer out. I'll give it to you tomorrow, Spadone, because I didn't even think of that. We just know that the cat's been ineffectual. Jim Barnett, 315. They're talking about the Warriors win, where Steph ranks in this MVP race. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
The NBA play-in game is only a play-in game.